Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Well, first of all, we want to say thank you to all the folks that attended the Port Chuck event over the weekend. We had a fantastic time. So from Scott, Steve, Brandon, and myself, thank you so much for attending. And we wanted to remind you that all of our events are replayable. So if you missed the Port Chuck concert over the weekend, you can still see it. And in fact, when you sign up to see one of our shows, you get access to all of them in the past. So you can see the last Port Chuck show, you can see the holiday show, you can see everything we've ever done. So you sign up to get one, you get them all. Go to stonecoldandthejackal.com to check it out. This week we talked to the incredible Kim Delaney about her latest movie, The Long Island Serial Killer, A Mother's Hunt for Justice on Lifetime, and of course, her now being on General Hospital. So, hope you enjoy it.
Well, Steve, we're very excited to have an incredible guest. No stranger to daytime, but no stranger to lots of other cool freaking things.
No stranger to TV at all. My gosh.
I know, right?
I looked at her IMDb and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. So we have Kim Delaney with us today. Kim, thank you for joining us. I know you have a crazy schedule right now. So thank you
for having me.
That's awesome.
So speaking of that craziness, you have something coming out this weekend that that all of our listeners and viewers can watch. The Long Island Serial Killer. Did I say that right?
The Long Island Serial Killer, and then it's A Mother's Hunt for Justice.
So two
titles are always so long.
I know, but you have to say the other side because it's not just about the Long Island. Like they haven't found him yet. He's still out there.
Got it.
So it's the Mother's Hunt.
So this is
for Justice, and
okay.
Right. So, is that a spoiler?
No. It's not a spoiler at all because.
I just mean that he's still out there. That's all I'm saying.
They just reopened the case last February.
Oh, okay. All right.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Trying to find him. They're still trying, or the persons, whoever it is.
Right. Right.
Okay. What, Kim, when does this air?
Okay. First off, I'm probably looking in the wrong spot. I always have to remember where I'm supposed to look.
You're fine.
You're supposed to look up here.
Okay. Well, I always look at Bradford, so he's so good looking. I can't stop.
I know. He can't keep his eyes off me. It's crazy.
It's amazing.
No, it's totally fine. So February 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Lifetime?
At 8 p.m. On Lifetime. And then there'll be a documentary right after that about the whole.
That's awesome.
Cool.
When and where did you shoot this?
I shot right after I started working with you. It was October.
Okay.
I was out for 6 weeks up in Canada, Vancouver.
Nice.
Wow. They turn these around so quick.
So fast, right?
Yeah, that's great. Have you done some
blonde in the trailer?
Oh. I am blonde.
Yeah, baby. Watch out.
Amazing. Is that just because it's in because it's Long Island, you gotta be it makes sense, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, she's unfortunately the mom's she doesn't have a lot, she's a single mom from New York and has a couple of kids and one's an escort or sometimes escort. And that's what happens. And she goes out on a date and doesn't come back. And that's when she starts. So she doesn't come back. And then the mom, me, Mary Gilbert, is just relentless in getting answers and pushing the police to find her. And they don't, once they hear it's a street, a possible street worker, they don't really care that much. But then they find all these other bodies before they find my daughter's body. And that's what opens up the whole serial killer part.
Wow.
Did you meet the person that you were portraying?
Crazy enough, she was killed by her other daughter in 2016.
Oh so my gosh.
Yeah, that's something nice and light.
What the heck? Listen, now I'm going to have to watch this now, and my wife's gonna love it because she loves Datelines. So I know that
it's totally it's
I know this is gonna be right up her alley. So
she had a couple daughters. One daughter got killed and the other daughter killed her in 2016. So I did not get a chance to meet her. I just did a ton of research and talked to police officers and cops I knew back in Long Island. And at that point they weren't helping as much because once they found out you're an escort,
sure,
right,
it wasn't top priority.
Well, it sounds like there's really a lot of room for at least a part two where like your hunt continues and then you get like, I mean, you got to play yourself. If you get killed, you got to reprise that. So, I mean, there's a lot of room for storytelling here.
There actually could be, as you said, that's a really good point, because then they go into the police that got arrested and that are like, you know, some are in jail and some killed themselves. And it's a horrific story.
Wow.
So, yes.
Well,
like this then.
Well,
horrific. And then not much smiling during that 6 weeks.
Sure.
I bet. Yeah. What kind of, when you're telling a story that dark, does it pervade the set a little bit? Is everyone feeling the depth, or do you try to counteract that with lightheartedness on set?
I think a little bit of both. The producers try to keep everybody up, and you know, you do the cappuccinos and the soups because you're freezing the way we're working up there. But not a lot of smiles. Like I'd walk into the crew, I'm like, all right, another light day. Let's get at it. You know.
Sure.
Wow.
Now you've done a fair amount of work with Lifetime, right? Because I mean you've done a TV show that was on Lifetime, but in terms of Lifetime,
Lifetime.
Right. But in terms of Lifetime movies, which aren't necessarily produced in house, right? They're other, like, had you
this movie is Lighthouse and Sony, but it's
Cool.
And it's actually their 400th original movie. So this is kind of an honor. It's
wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a big weekend. I like it. So
I hope so. I hope everybody likes
that's it. That's cool. So tune in and see Kim Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern. And I'm sure they're going to replay it often. So, but just make sure you check it out and the documentary afterwards. So that's awesome.
Set your DVRs, watch it live.
Come
on. Watch it on demand when it comes on demand. Just keep watching. Amazing.
I hope
Just keep watching. Yeah.
It's a lot of people involved. The writer's John Pillmeyer, the director, producers, Stan Brooks, Deborah Norville's one of the exec producers, Elizabeth Steven is another exec producer. And a tremendous, it's actually a Canadian cast because we shot in Canada, shot in Vancouver for Long Island, but it's a really good cast too.
Awesome.
So I hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, great.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to it. So,
yeah. So now, Kim, where are you from?
Philadelphia.
And
really?
So, yeah, what were you doing as a kid in Philadelphia?
Cheerleading.
Yeah.
I had four brothers and the house was only about, you know, football and Sinatra pretty much.
Nice. Hey, that's not a bad household to grow up in. For me,
you better learn sports, and if you're not going to play sports, then you have to like be a cheerleader and be around the sports.
Right.
So your
family didn't have any connection to the arts or anything like that.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
No Shakespeare in the house. Nothing. It was
music.
Yeah. Lots of music.
So how did the arts creep into you? How did you become interested in acting or performing? Did it start with acting first, or was it singing?
It was nothing. I was in high school. My father didn't graduate high school. He was a union guy. Mm-hmm. And his goal was to have all five of his kids go to college. That was like his main wish.
Sure.
Amazing.
And my brother started going, and I said, Dad, I'm just not crazy about school. I don't feel like doing it. So then I came home from work one day and he goes, well, how about being a court reporter? I just saw somebody and I think they make pretty good money. So at first, during my senior year of high school, I took court reporting lessons. And then, you know, it always starts with a guy, right? So then I met a guy.
Sure.
That's how my whole life unfolded. Facing guys.
Or a girl.
Yeah.
It always does. And this guy saw me in Atlantic City because it's close to Philly and the casinos were just opening, or maybe were just open. And he was like, he kind of like pulled me out of a crowd. I was with my cousins and he said, you should model.
Oh, man.
So it had nothing to do with the arts still. It was casinos. It was, you know, it was that world.
Yeah.
And so I started modeling in Philly. And then from there, I started taking the train up to New York and started modeling. And then I met some woman that worked with Elite, that's where I was modeling, and Damien Littlefield, and she said, you need to like take some acting lessons. You know, she would get the girls that she thought could be commercial people or actors. And we were called Davian Stable because she had like amazing girls like Andy McDowell and Patty Hansen and Julia Phillips. I mean, so that's, and she said, Kim, you need to go to acting class. And I said, give me the three best names. So she gave me Bill Esper, and I forget the other two names because I just went to the top name.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I went to, you know, meet with him, and he turned me down. And he says, you need to go out and live a little bit. You're only 17. You need to go out and live in order to do this. And I went downstairs. It was on 7th Avenue. And I just walked down this, and I just started crying. I went back up there. I said, Bill, you don't know my life right now. Let me give you a little bit about my life. So he listened to me, and then he goes, okay, I'll tell you what, if you can get through Joanne's, that was Joanne Barron at the time. If you can get Joanne, get through her first year, I'll take you my second year. Mm. Long story for this, within like my third audition, I had all my children, and that's how I got into it. It had nothing to do with.
Wow. That's amazing.
Did you say your third audition? So how long was that into the year with his
everything happened the first year.
Wow.
And then when I was doing all my children, I was so nervous to get to class with Bill because we had class on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And if you didn't get there, like I just got brought in, and everybody at work going, Kim, what are you so worried about? You're already working. I'm like, no, you have to understand. I have to get there. I promised him. Wow. So that's how I got into it. It was nothing, you know, and then after that, one of my brothers followed me, my older brother. He came up to New York and lived with me for a while. He was getting his law degree. Then he got his master's at NYU. So then he lived with me. Then my other brother came up, and I was working for ABC with all my children at that point. And then he met a bunch of people, and he started working in sports. So all of a sudden, my whole family got into different parts of the business, but this is how it happened. Like there was
that's awesome.
At what point did you stop saying use guys?
when I first started modeling, actually, because I used to practice in my basement, and my brothers would tease me, like saying water and, you know, the way we used to talk.
Right.
And I'd go down there and I'd listen to the news, and even they would say news, like now I say news, right? So,
right.
And they're like, oh, she's getting bigger than us now.
You think you're better than me?
That's funny.
That's what we say in Boston. And I'm from New England, right? I feel like Boston and Philly. I'm from New Hampshire, but we don't have a city, so we claim Boston.
Imagine, you know that movie Silver Playbook Linings, right?
Yeah, right. With
my dad's De Niro. You don't sit in the wrong seat. If you walked out of the room, don't come back in until they score. You just, there's certain things you just don't.
Sure,
of course. So are you an Eagles fan then?
Big time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I always had an affinity for the Eagles because I'm from Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And to me, Cleveland and Philly were very similar
They're close.
Blue collar, mm-hmm. diehard fans.
Yeah.
You know, and so I always love the Eagles, but
diehard fans for sure. Like my
father. Diehard. Diehard fans.
What was it like walking onto the set of All My Children having never worked before?
Scared to death.
Sure.
Scared to death. The first 2 weeks I was on, they had, my character was Jenny, and I was coming in with Opal, who played my mother, Dorothy Lyman played my mom. And we were like the mom and daughter from the wrong side of the tracks. We're coming in, and I had no idea. Like I had this thing in my throat where I couldn't talk. I had to cough, and I had tears in my eyes. I didn't know that you could actually stop a take and say, I need some water.
That's funny.
But the crew was really good to me because I was, like I said, really young, and I would jump up and down the seat, you know, on the sofas and stuff once I got off the bus, and they couldn't keep me in camera. And they stayed with me like for two different lunch times the entire time. They're like, all right, sweetheart, we're going to show you how to have the same energy and sit so we can follow you.
Right.
Oh, right.
They taught me.
So Kim, how long were you there for? A couple of years?
3 years.
3 years. And now
they wanted me to stay longer. I was just talking to somebody about this earlier because they're like, how could you know, all these things I did earlier today with the movie coming out. They're like, why would you only stay? You were like, you know, everybody wanted you there. And I just wanted, I was young. I just wanted to try other stuff.
Well, that turned out great, by the way. But how was it going to, was your next job? Was it a TV show? Was it a movie? Because I know it was probably different than daytime, how daytime shot.
Yeah, but my very next job after that. So if I left there in July, I think October, I went to do That Was Then, This Is Now in Minneapolis. And so it was a movie.
Movie, right.
Yeah, with Emilio Estevez and Craig Sheffer and
right. Chris yeah. Christine. So how was that? I mean, because obviously we know how soap operas are shot, and most of our listeners and audience knows now because we talk about it at length. So how was it?
Were you able shot back then? Like the way we move fast.
Oh gosh, right. Yeah.
We move so yeah. fast back then, you know, and it, you know, but it was you go in, you have rehearsal.
Sure.
Then you do blocking, then you go to lunch, you know, I take a run through the park in New York, and you come back and do a dress rehearsal. So you had like all those hours to think about how you wanted to do the scenes and whatever. Yeah. General Hospital, man, you just get there and you go. there's no stopping.
Nope.
So, you're like, wait a minute, what happened to the All My Children way of doing things?
Steve, if you saw me, we haven't had scenes together yet, but like the first couple weeks and still sometimes now, I would just be like this with our pages. I'd be throwing them up in the air. I'm like, okay, we're done that one. We're done that one. Okay, now
I know it's kind of, it is mayhem for sure. It is.
Yeah.
But and then when you did that movie in Minneapolis, that was your first time on a single camera set too. So you were really learning as you went.
I was learning, and I gratefully had a lot of good people who took time to teach me and spend time with me.
Because I can imagine, you know, learning on a daytime set, you have obviously the as you said, the crew helped you, you know, stay still. So they could follow you, but following you on a single cam versus a multicam is different too. Like finding to contain yourself.
Things that I taught on that I was taught through the years, which is invaluable, is for focus, right? For like when they're pulling focus, if I need to pace, they'll let me, if I just give them where I'm going to pace and I'm not going to go forward of that line, if I'm just going to stay behind this line, they said, Kim, we'll follow you wherever you go. We got
That's
you.
Awesome.
Just
That's
stay
great.
Here. And then they look good and I can do what I want and everybody wins.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's great.
But that was, sure. again, I've had good crews.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing, you know, because, you know, if you've been on a set for long enough and you've been on so many shows that lasted, like when you get to know the crew and you see people come in that don't have that.
You have to be able to dance with your crew. That's what I've learned. You have to be able to, you're dancing together and you need to Absolutely. Know like how to dance.
Well, and they
yeah,
help
for sure.
You know, they can make you look good or they can make you look bad if they want to.
I'm sorry.
They can make you look better or they can make you look worse.
Oh,
if they
yeah.
want
if you're
to.
Not helping them out, they will not be your friends.
That's true. That's yeah. true, my friend.
Yeah. Right?
For sure.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. Especially on daytime now, it's like, you know, I don't like doing multiple takes. Like for me, you give me one or two takes, that's awesome. But if you have a really good emotional scene or whatever and you get one take and the crew saves you, then you don't have to do it again.
Right. So it's we all count on each other. So,
yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Steve, I found something amazing. I can't wait to tell you about it. You know I love deals, right?
Oh, do I ever know that you love saving money?
Yeah, that's been established. So
yes, it has.
I let me tell you about Honey. Have you heard about Honey?
I actually have heard about Honey. That's yeah. It's like you download it or it's a browser extension that
Correct.
Finds.
Yeah.
Finds
something. It's an easy download from the App Store. It goes right onto your browser extension, whether you use Safari on Apple or whatever you use.
Yeah.
And it makes searching for coupon codes a thing of the past. You know, sometimes Ooh. When you're looking online shopping, we all online shop, right? You try to think, you're about to buy it. And you're like, ooh, I bet I can find a promo code somewhere
I've done
on the
this
internet.
I've done this 100 times. And then those people make you sign up with an email and then they email you stuff and the codes don't work.
Right. It's so it is a free browser extension, right? There's no subscription. It is free. That scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. It supports over 30,000 stores online, ranging from tech and gaming products to fashion, even food delivery.
Why haven't I used this before?
So let me tell you about what I did today. I needed a new belt. I needed a belt for working out because I have these new workout pants that have a belt loops. So I needed a belt. I didn't want to wear like a leather belt with my workout pants.
Yeah, yeah,
no, didn't make sense. So I found this cool site and I just downloaded Honey, put it on my Safari, and at checkout, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. And so then you just wait like a couple seconds and it runs through all these promo codes that it finds, and it finds the one that saves you the most money.
Unbelievable.
So I saved, it was a $49 belt and I saved $8 on it.
Yeah, buddy. How excited were you?
I was so excited. It's like magic and you don't have to do any work. That's tremendous. Amazing. And it's not just me that's having great luck. Honey has found its over 17 million members over $2 billion in savings. Are you kidding me?
That's amazing. You guys, if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free to install, and you can install it in a few seconds. And by getting it, you're going to be doing yourself a solid and supporting our podcast and Bradford's habit of saving money.
So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Bradford.
Oh, how would they know to put your name there?
Because they know I love a good deal, Steve.
That's joinhoney.com/Bradford and save
with Honey. It's so sweet.
Hey, Bradford.
Yes, Steve.
What was your favorite game as a kid?
Ooh, probably Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, that was a game. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was a computer game. And I learned all about capitals, world capitals, state capitals. And I loved it. I loved it.
That's interesting. So what's your favorite game now?
Oh, Best Fiends.
I knew it.
Yes. Yes. Well, and you know what? Because I got to say, things have come a long way since we were kids, right? And number one, the fact that I can put a phone in my pocket, that's different.
Yeah, it is.
That's different.
That's different. And that's why we love it, though.
Well, and I couldn't have imagined when I first got my first flip phone in 1999 that I'd be able to play beautiful, beautiful, stunning games like Best Fiends. Amazing. And I got to tell you, dun dun dun, I just got to level 600.
Did you really?
I am at level 600.
Oh my gosh.
So, friends, if you haven't heard us talk about Best Fiends, it is our favorite casual mobile puzzle game. You know, it's like a match three puzzle game, and it's not just us that love it. People have downloaded it 100 million times.
Yes, so that's 100 million downloads. That's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Sure. That's a lot. So it's this beautiful game. The bugs versus the slugs has levels upon levels upon levels, thousands of levels to play.
Thousands of levels, which is first of all, I love how the game looks anyway, but I hate when games end.
Right. Well, in these puzzle games, you know, you get used to the kind of puzzle it is. And so it's not about beating it. It's about just playing it forever. They're going to keep it going forever because they treat this like a service for their players. It's always changing with the seasons. The Valentine's season was beautiful on Best Fiends. And I can't wait to see what comes up next. I got to say, my favorite bug right now is this little beetle called Lapolian. He is so stinking cute now. Since I've advanced him and upgraded him so much, he looks like yeah, he's got a thimble for a helmet.
I love upgrading those bugs, buddy.
They're so cute. They're so cute.
It's crush time.
So, if you're looking for a new mobile game to play, check out Best Fiends. You never get tired of solving puzzles.
Nope.
Don't blame us if you get slightly obsessed, or you can blame us. And also look us up when you start playing Best Fiends. You can play against us. And we love doing that too. So download Best Fiends free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
That's Friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com today. So look, we're not going to get into your whole resume because you've done so many TV shows, and I know it's like crazy. It's just crazy. So don't judge me. One of my favorites was The OC. I know.
No, that was really good.
I know. It's a soap opera, and I watched it.
Great. No, but they're all great on. I've been fortunate with the people I get to work with. I have.
Yeah, that was a fun show. It was
a very fun show.
I don't get hooked on many shows, and I don't know why that one I got hooked on, but Bradford still makes fun of me today. But
well, yeah, I mean, you could relate fashion-wise, hair-wise.
Oh, shut up.
You could relate.
Oh, whatever.
Right.
Whatever. I have one of my best friends, and his name's Judah, and he's never saw any of my other work. The only thing he loves is Delta Force. Like,
yes, Chuck Norris, baby. That's amazing.
That's funny.
That's amazing. So Kim, when did you make the full move out to LA from New York? What was that like
that was,
for you?
The thing is, I never actually made the choice. I just came out here for work.
Mm.
And I got something else. I was subletting. Then I was subletting my place in New York. And I just kept working.
Was NYPD Blue out in LA?
That was here. Yeah, we shot it in LA.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, that was, I remember when that came around, and like, I mean, obviously it was, you know, it was grittier than other shows. You know, they showed women's torsos, which was a big deal. And butts.
You had to sign a contract for that.
Yeah.
Or a waiver.
Yeah.
Not a waiver.
Right. And yeah. And I remember that was like, it really tried to push the line of what was acceptable in primetime television. And what was it like being a part? Because it was a bit of a phenomenon. Like it was, you know, made a big splash and it was a hit. Like, I mean, what the energy of that was? It was being a part of that. What kind
it
of
was
experience
tremendous.
Was that?
It was tremendous. And we couldn't even get away now with the stuff we did then. Not a chance.
Right.
Not on network TV. We couldn't even do it. But it was great. You did have to sign a waiver. You know, I figured I've got like a couple of months to get into the show. 4 days later, I'm going, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And I'm, but that but kind it, of again,
great producers, great cast, great crew.
Sure.
Well, and you, that your relationship with those producers continued for a bit, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah.
They're in my heart. They still are.
What was the life outside that show at that time? Was it, like in terms of like, was your public profile, did your life get a little more, not to say complicated, but in terms of like, did you become much more of a public figure at that point, or had All My Children done that for you already?
I think All My Children already did that, but I didn't realize at that point, because I was younger, that there were that many people that were interested, you know, or sure. Watching.
Sure.
But then with NY, we were such a family that, you know, it was like we were together and people wanted to see what we were doing. We'd have Christmases together. We'd have dinners together. We'd have birthday parties together. Like it was, we all did stuff together.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And that's awesome.
You were there for how long?
Is it 8 years, 9 years?
8 or 9 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. And then there was a spinoff of a Bochco show, right? Or,
but it wasn't the Philly show you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. With was myself? That? Yeah.
It wasn't a spinoff of NY. What it was, Stephen came and, well, not came, we had lunch and he said, I have this idea. We already have 13 on the air with ABC. You star, I'll produce. What do you think? We can shoot it wherever you want. We can do Boston. He did say, well, we can do Boston. We can do Detroit. We can do Philly. And I said, shit, let's do my hometown. Let's do
that's
Philly.
That's amazing.
So that's how that came out. And
so it could have been called any of those other cities.
Well, because it could have been any. It had to be like some big city. So any of those big cities where there'd be a DA and, you know, and he'd
sure.
Go.
Wow.
He was very good to me.
Yeah,
good.
I would say. That's but that awesome. Must have been so cool to be able to. Because you
back
shot
home.
There too?
We did the same thing like we did with NYPD. We shot in Culver City, and then we do the exteriors back there a couple times a year.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't know. That's so neat to be able to, like, with that one decision, you
go
were
home.
Able, like, not just go home, but also, like, bring opportunity there too, in a way. I'm not sure.
The city was so happy. I was like, you know, they're so happy for them and for me.
Did you get the key to the city, or is there a Kim Delaney day? Which one? No, I'm kidding.
I don't know. Kind of their little sweetheart, but they're happy for me.
Yeah.
We're gonna make a call, Kim, right after this.
Yeah. At least next to the Rocky statue at the Museum of Art.
Yeah, right. There should be Kim Delaney statue right there.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, next to Rocky.
What the heck? Who's Rocky anyway? Yeah. Chuck Norris is bigger than Stallone. Who cares?
Yeah.
So did you do a few things with Chuck Norris, by the way?
No, just the one.
Just Delta Force.
Yeah, which was a great, like, there was everybody in this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Anybody you could think of. Lena Kazan.
What do you prefer as an actress? Movies, TV, or
question. I like, you know, it always comes down to the script first, the producers, because they're going to run the set. Mm. And if they're not, and then you're going to be miserable if they're not taking care of the set.
That's true. That's a very good point.
So they're the first two things I look at.
Wow.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously in that time period from NYPD Blue on for a number of years, obviously you were quite busy with your day job, if you will. Now, you know, as time progresses or when you're doing that, did you have anything else in your life that, did you have any time for anything else? Like I know you had some kids and stuff, but in terms of creativeness, were you always fed enough by your day job that, or did you find other ways to express yourself, like whether doing plays on the side or writing, anything?
I've got some writing. I still do some writing. I produced a couple movies during that time, TV movies.
Oh, cool.
So that would be during the summer. So I couldn't work during the, you know, those 9 months that we're filming, but then I would have a couple of months off where I could put in a TV movie or produce a TV movie. So that's what I was doing in between.
Yeah.
Or take a well-needed vacation, you know.
Right.
Right. But that's an amazing schedule where you can obviously do great work for 9 months, make good money, keep your public profile, but then you could probably almost have your pick.
No, it was good. I mean, look, there's times when it's good and times when it's not. I've always said that about this. When it's good, it's great. And when it's not, it sucks. It goes, you know.
So true.
When it does suck, how do you manage?
Friends, Pilates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Friends, Pilates.
Reading, yeah. You know, just, sure. You just have to keep it going and you don't give up, I guess. You know, you just go, okay. This is just the downtime right now.
Right.
Yeah. That's what, you know, Bradford and I were talking right before you got on. And obviously you've had such a long career. And is it not giving up? Is that what kept you going? Or is it what do you think the driver was for you to have such a long and successful career?
I think faith in what I do and not love for what I do, and also that the people I've worked with, mm-hmm. we like each other, you know, and so it always comes back around.
Yeah.
If you're good.
That's
not,
awesome.
Not good acting, but if you're good acting, but if you're a good person.
That too. Yeah, that helps. For sure.
It does help. So when you, like you said, you have done some writing, is the storytelling aspect of what we do the most alluring thing to you? Is it the rush of connection with another actor? What brings you back? Is it the relationships? Like I'm sure, and it could be a combination of all these things, but is there one part it's like, God, I need to tell stories, or God, I need to feel.
It's more the story. You're asking about when I sit down to write?
Or just in general, like that creativity, that feeling within you that propels you, that passion in you, is it based in like just telling good stories? Is it based about just connecting with other people, or is it just about like being with other creatives too, you know?
It's probably a combination of all three. You know, it's good storytelling, but if you're going to spend 16 hours a day with somebody, you want to be with good people that you enjoy spending time with. So that's the camaraderie you're talking about, the humanness.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, what that story can offer somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's just talk about how this whole General Hospital thing came about. Because that's very interesting to me. So how did you just get a call? Was there any kind of pre-talk or was it just, you could just tell us how it came about? And
there was no pre-talk. I had no clue. I did get a call from Frank Valentini, our producer.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, Kim, can I sit down and talk to you about something? Would you, you know, have a thought? And then Mark was on, you know, our casting director.
Mark Teschler, yep.
Teschler, yeah. And he goes, here's what I'd like to do. Think about it. Call me tomorrow. And that's how it came about. And I said, I like the idea already. I said, I'll call you tomorrow, but I like the idea already.
Yeah. And you didn't know Frank from anywhere else? Or
mm-mm.
No.
No.
Is this your first recast? First time you've played a...
Who played her character? Who played Jackie
Demi Moore.
First?
Demi Moore. Back in the 80s. She was working when I was working on All My Children.
Wow.
When Tristan was, we like all used to do stuff together, like, you know, the ABC stuff or soap stuff. And I was on the East Coast. They were on the West Coast. So I know these guys. I knew, you know, Jeannie and all these guys, John Stamos, and like all these guys, we would cross paths.
That's awesome. I mean, coming in after a 30-year plus recast is not a big deal.
Right. Like you didn't have to go back and see what she did.
Not a big deal. Not a big deal.
I can get to create it a little bit myself.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure. Yeah, was fun. There any true, was, you know, your thoughts about coming back to daytime and after so long, and were you excited about the potential process of going faster than you probably have over the last however long? Or was that?
I don't think it was the process. That's a tough process. I mean, I have a lot of respect for the process. I was more excited for the work and for the show.
Yeah.
And for what the potential I saw.
And you worked with Michael.
That's awesome.
Michael Knight back in the day, right?
He played my brother on All My Children.
That's hilarious. That's amazing. That's great. Yeah. Now, forgive me, because I don't watch the show, and everybody gets mad at me because I don't watch the show.
It's hard to keep up. There's so many characters.
So totally. Are you related to Michael on the Michael Knight on the show now?
No, not at all.
Okay, not at all. Okay,
but you interact.
Anything's possible.
Well, because I remember the first day I saw you, I think we were in the one of the bar scenes, and you were talking to Wes and to him, right? Wasn't he in there with you, Michael Knight?
Peter and Martin?
The first time the first time I was on, it was Tristan and I'm trying to think who else. Maxie. Yeah, I came on. But there was a time where, yes, Wes was on, my brother, Ted Knight, you know, he was on. Michael Knight, Ted Knight,
yeah. Same color hair now.
Tad.
Exactly.
Tad, yeah. Ted, yeah.
Tad.
So that's awesome. I I'm so happy that you're there because you're...
No, what I mixed up was the name he played on All My Children was Tad. That's what I meant.
Right.
And I had to...
Try, yeah,
Tad. Oh, yeah. No, that's, no, we all Tad. Know. We all know him as Tad, too. I mean, Tad the Cad.
We still call him
on.
Tad, so...
Yeah.
Of course. That's awesome. Great.
Yeah. So. Well, gosh, we feel so lucky and delighted that you're on GH with us. It's really cool.
You know, when someone comes in, you're like, okay, cool. And then you're so gracious to everybody and so nice. And it's just such a pleasure to have you and see
you
in the hallway at work. It's awesome.
Thank you.
And your character's name's Jackie, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is Jackie single? Never mind. Just kidding. Anyway.
Apparently she is now. I don't know what they just dropped into the middle of all this stuff.
So awesome. Kim, we thank you so much for just hanging with us.
Just have to say, everybody has been so welcome, like so generous to me on the show.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons I love it there. The crew is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, without them, I wouldn't be able to do the great, you know, stuff that we're able to do there because they always have my back and it's amazing.
That's
so
nice.
You're right. To go at the speed we do and to kind of do the jump off the cliff as we do in every moment. If you don't have that trust.
It is a trust.
It totally.
I had to get one of the guys the other day when I was working yesterday. I had to get ready for a Skype today. I was doing everything Zoom and two people helped me. First, it was Matt, one of our prop guys, right, Matt?
Yeah,
and
Matt,
then,
yep.
He goes, you know what? He goes, I forget something. He goes, go upstairs to one of those young college kids. They're on the fifth floor and get them to help you. And they fixed it for me because I had to get on Everybody else was doing Zoom today, but I had to get on Skype for KTLA.
All right.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They're so helpful. They're like,
yeah, that's awesome.
Got it done.
Right. Wow. No, you're right. Between the, you know, the old professionals that right. are, and then the young bucks that are upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, you know, it was Kelly. And I said, thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you. Looking forward to your movie this weekend. I'll see you at work.
The Long Island Killer and Mother's Hunt for Justice. Did I get it all?
Lifetime. Yes, you did. I know it's a long time. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yes.
All right.
So
cool.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks,
Kim. Thank you. Thanks. All right. Talk to you soon.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com today.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
What's up, guys? This is Max here, and I'm really excited to invite you to watch my Color Vision Deluxe Experience live concert on Live by Live this February. It's going to be brilliant. We're playing Blueberry Eyes, Lights Down Low, Love Me Less, all the songs off my album. I hope you can join us. Tickets at livexlive.com/max, and I'll see you February 27th, only on Live by Live.